لا إله له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، نحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers in Islam and youngsters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let us send durood sharif. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم رب زدني علما. All praise belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace and mercy, has bestowed us with the wealth of Iman, made us the reciters of the Kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allahumma thabbitna ala al-Iman wa amitna ala al-Iman wa ahshurna yawm al-qiyamati ma'a al-muttaqina ma'a al-Iman. O Allah, keep us steadfast on Iman. O Allah, let us face Malak al-Maut with Iman. And O Allah, rise us up on the day of Qiyamah with Iman. Ameen. A new year in the Islamic calendar. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all the tawfiq, the long life, to witness another year in the lunar year of the Islamic calendar. And ulama have given a lot of bayans before the commencement of this new year. A person should make this intention come the new year, that this year must be better than the previous year. Have new year resolutions. Well, all the other nations, all the other religions, when they have the New Year's Eve, come before 12 o'clock, they make that New Year resolution. No, this year I want to earn better. This year I want to live better. This year I want to do things better. So in the same way, as Muslims also, we should have the New Year resolution, that the intention, that what my intention should be, is that I want to become a better Muslim than last year. I want to read more salah with jama'at than the previous year. I want to make sure that I discharge my zakat. I want to make sure that every day or every week or every month I give out some sadaqah, I give out some charity. I want to make that intention compared to last year, that every day I want to sit with the noble Quran and I want to read Quran. If last year I was reading few pages of the Quran daily, this year I want to read quarter para daily. So we make that intention to become better Muslims, for our life in this world is so short. So we need to prepare our lives for the year after. And this is our maqsid, this is our object for us being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As an imtihan and as a test by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how we are going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. How we are going to face Munkar and Nakir in the Qabr when we pass away. Or how we are going to face Malak al-Maut. In this Mubarak month of Muharram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the annals of history, we look at the Sahaba radiallahu an, they were the guiding stars, and the efforts, and the sacrifices, their mujahada, and their ultimate love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no bounds. The Sahaba radiallahu an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in numerous places of the Quran al-Kareem. But one Sahabi I would like to highlight today, which he passed away on the 1st of Muharram, the 23rd year after the demise of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We did that one sunnah kitab, the 10-minute madrasa, which we read after the Faraz of Maghrib Salah. And this week we have discussed in the first page, in the first lesson, which every lesson, the beginning of that lesson is the life of a Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So this week we have discussed the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So I'd like to highlight, inshaAllah, to the best of my ability, to speak about the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. For he passed away on this very same month, on the month of Muharram. If you look at the Khilafat, the reign of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given him the reign of Khalifa to rule the Muslim Ummah. And if you look at the sacrifices, the Mujahada, and how Islam spread during the Khilafah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the lands that he has conquered, the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire. In the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Islam spread right up as far as Europe and as far as India and China. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala during his Khalifa, and one day he makes an announcement, and Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu was with, and he narrates this incident. And this incident comes in Ibn Majah. And Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sahib Sir. Sahib Sir is a Sahabi who knew the secrets of Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also just to mention that during the Khilafah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was not a single fitna. There was no fitna at all during the Khilafah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that when Umar, we all know this incident, we all know the story that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he used to walk on one side of the street, shaitan used to get so scared of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that shaitan used to turn around and run away from Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Shaitan used to fear Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is why during his khilafah, there was no fitna at all at the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the sahibi, said that that sahabi who knew the secrets of Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, what is fitna and what fitna will befall upon the ummah? So Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stands up and he says, O Umar, I know of fitna that will come in this world. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that you are very a brave sahabi. He said, no, I heard Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, and I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, fitnatu rajul fi ahlihi wa malihi wa waladihi wa jarihi wa yukaffiruha as-salah wa as-siyam wa sadaqa wal amru bil ma'aruf wa nahi anil munkar. Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala says, I heard Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a fitna of man will be in his family, will be in his wealth, will be in his children, will be with his neighborhood, in his neighbors. It will be in his wealth. In his family, meaning when a husband and wife having an argument, it is a fitna. When the brothers and sisters are not talking to one another, it is a fitna. When offsprings are not speaking to one another, it is a fitna. When husband and wife are not talking to one another, it is a fitna. When uncles and aunties are not talking to one another, it is a fitna. When you are not communicating with your neighbor and showing love and kindness to your neighbor, it is a fitna. When people are speaking bad about you in the community, it is a fitna. When people look at you and they have ill feelings towards you in the community, it is a fitna. وَيُكَفِّرُهَا. But how can you wipe out this fitna? How can you get rid of this fitna? As-salah, was-siyam, was-sadaqa, wal-amru bil-ma'aruf, wa-nahi al-munkar. To get rid of this fitna, a person needs to build in himself the love for salah. And read his 5 times salah in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To fast during the month of Ramadan. To keep nawafil fast. Tomorrow is the 9th of Muharram, inshaAllah al-Aziz. 10th is on Sunday. So it is the great sunnah of Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fast on the 9th and the 10th or the 10th and the 11th of Muharram. Before the fasting of the month of Ramadan became faraz upon the ummah, it was faraz for the ummah to fast during the month of Muharram. And we all know the incident when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara. He found that the Jews were fasting on the 10th of Muharram. And asked the reason behind this, the Jews said, no, Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam was saved from Fir'aun. So, and the people of Fir'aun and his army, on this day, on the 10th of Muharram. So to honor the savior of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and our people, the Bani Israel, we keep Raza on the 10th of Muharram. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ana aqrabu min Yahudi," that we are closer to the to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam than the Yahud, than the Jews. So we will not fast one day to show our closeness to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. We will keep a roza for 2 days. So inshallah, we should all make that intention inshallah, that we should try and keep this nafil roza, which is either tomorrow or Sunday and Monday inshallah al-aziz. We'll all try and do that inshallah. This is a means of us wiping away the fitna from our lives, the fitna from our community, the fitna from everything around us. And this is a way to wipe out that fitna. The third is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, wasadaqa, giving charity. Giving charity towards the upkeep of the masjid. Giving charity towards the upkeep of our Muslim school that we have in the small community of Impangain, alhamdulillah. And I always say that we are so fortunate to have a Muslim school in our community. When our small children are saved from the fitna and facade of the schools in our town. And we all know the school of our town, how much of fitna is being spread in the schools. And alhamdulillah, we got a good environment for our children in our Muslim school of Impangani. We got a good environment where our children can grow up in this good and mature environment, inshallah al-aziz. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَصَدَقَةً. To wipe out that fitna, give out a lot of sadaqah. Give out charity. The third is, وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِيَ عَلِ الْمُنْكَرِ. With the work of tabligh and da'wah, when a person commands that which is evil, commands people towards good, encouraging people towards a'mali saliha, inviting people towards a'mali saliha, وَالنَّهِيَ عَلِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And stopping as far as possible, preventing evil from being spread in this town. Or from the ummah of Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعَرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ is a great form of da'wah, inviting people towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why on Mondays we have our in-gush and Wednesdays we have our out-gush. We should try our utmost best to partake of this gush, to take part in this da'wah inshaAllah. It will help ourselves firstly to renew our iman, to increase the level of our iman. And most importantly, it will help our community to remove the fitna and facade that is spreading in our community. So this is the hadith that Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, no, this is not the hadith that I am thinking about. This is not the hadith that I am asking about. So Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, oh Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you are the Khalifa, there is no fitna. Why ask about the hadith of fitna narrated by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? For fitna is that door, and that door at the moment it is closed. Meaning that door, referring to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that now during his khalifa, during his reign, the doors of fitna are closed. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asks the Sahaba, and he says, okay, is that door going to be open or is that door going to be broken? Big difference between the two. Is that door going to be open when you go home, when you have the key to your house, you open that door easily. When you lose the key, what happens? And you end up breaking that door. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala asks, is that door of fitna going to be open or is that door going to be broken? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that the door of fitna is going to be broken. Meaning once the life of Habib, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once he passes away, then the door of fitna is going to be broken and now fitna is going to spread throughout the world. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to always make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what dua he used to always make? Allahumma razuqna shahadatan fi sabilik. Allahumma razuqna shahadatan fi sabilik. Remember, number one, he was a sahaba. And number two, he was a close companion to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He partook of all the battles with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Battle of Uhud, battle of Badr, battle of Khandaq, battle of Ahzab. That he took part with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever these battles were taking place, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Ana Umar, Ana wa Umar wa Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Meaning the three of us were inseparable. They were close friends, had good ta'alluq, they had good relationship with one another. And they were always together. They sat together, they ate together, they partook of battles together. So they always close. So he was a close companion to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to put the cherry on the top, he was being given khilafat. He was the Amir al-Mu'mineen. But with this, with the titles that he had, And would him be given the title of radiyallahu anhum? Would him be given honored being with Habibu Safa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He still makes a dua, Allahumma rizukna shahadatan fi sabilik. Oh Allah, grant me a maut that I'm in your path, that I'm in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and malak al-maut comes and visits me. And not only that, he makes dua, waj'al li mauti fi baladi rasulik sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That, oh Allah, grant me such a maut that I pass away in Madinatul Munawwara sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the dua of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. During his khalifa, there was no jihad in Madinatul Munawwara. Jihad was predominantly Muslims. So there was no jihad. The jihad was taking place out of Madinatul Munawwara. But look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he makes hajj on the 23rd year. Zul Hijjah on the 23rd year after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu returning to Madinatul Munawwara, he makes dua to Allah and he says, oh Allah, I am old now. I am weak now. Oh Allah, let me face Malak al-Maut. Oh Allah, let me face Malak al-Maut now. I am old, I am weak, and I'm able to rule anymore. Oh Allah, let me face Malak al-Maut. And also he makes a dua, Allahumma rzuqna shahadatan fi sabilik, waj'alli mawti fi baladi rasulik sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He makes this dua. In Tariqh Tabri, a book on history, Islamic history, I think there is a translation, English translation out there. We should try and get this, inshallah, it'll help us to learn the history, the beautiful history of Islam. Ibn Maghrama radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was walking in the streets of Medina. And Abu Lu'lu, the Christian slave of Shu'ba ibn Mughayra, who murdered Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was walking in the street and he comes to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, oh Umar, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm in a lot of debt at the moment. I owe a lot in taxes. And I'm the slave of Mughayra ibn Shu'ba. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asks him, he said, oh Abu Lu'lu, what do you do? What is your profession? He said, no, I am a master of three things. I am a carpenter, I am a good painter, and I am a blacksmith. So Umar said, no, that's not a problem. Then what you do, use your talent to earn that extra income, and you can pay the jizya. At that time, they were known as kharaj, where those non-Muslims that were working in Madinatul Munawwara, they used to give a tax, they used to give a jizya of 2 dirhams a month. Abu Lu'lu used to give 2 dirhams a month. So they used to give this kharaj. And today, unfortunately, you find the same thing that is happening. When you speak to the taxi drivers, they say that no, that we come from India, or we come from Pakistan, or we come from Egypt, from the foreign countries. We come and look for work here in Saudi Arabia. So what we do, there is so-called person that we go up to and we tell him, listen, I need to work. He said, okay, there's a taxi job available for you. And they earn a certain amount, say for example, they earn 100 riyals a month or 100 riyals a day. So that agent that brought them to the country and gave them this job takes away 80% of the salary. Takes away 80% of the salary. So 80 riyals of the salary will go to that agent, and this person, this taxi driver, is only left with 20 riyals. So they call it some form of tax that they give. So this is also a form of zulm as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and safeguard us. So Abu Lu'lu was completed as Umar, and as Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, no, that you use your profession to earn that extra income, to earn that extra rosy, you'll be able to give that jizya, you'll be able to give out that sadaqah, that kharaj, that tax. So he walks away and he goes to Mughira ibn Shu'ba, and he says, Mughira ibn Shu'ba, Abu Lu'lu was also present, and as Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says that, okay, let us use your profession. Can you make a windmill? A windmill. So the Abu Lu'lu says, no, I can make you one of the best. I can make you the best windmill of all times. And the whole world will be speaking about the windmill of Madinatul Munawwara. The windmill of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala noticed that Abu Lu'lu was very upset, was very angry with Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala suggesting that he must use his talent to earn that extra income so that he can pay his taxes. And Abu Lu'lu, you know, like in a person when he's angry at you, you can just sense that the person is angry and he's upset with you. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu noticed that Abu Lu'lu was upset and he was angry with him. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes to his master, Mughira, and he says, listen, I've got a feeling this person, Abu Lu'lu, is going to kill me. He wants to kill me because I can see that rage in his eyes. I can see the anger in his eyes. Umar radiallahu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu left it as it is. So Fajr morning, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he walks to Masjid al-Nabawi to perform the Fajr Salah. And it was a habit of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that means he used to stand and face the musallis, make sure that every musalli's safs is straight, that their heels are in line, and that they're standing shoulder to shoulder. And if the jamaat was big, he used to appoint a sahaba radiallahu anhu, a few sahaba, to walk in between the safs, to make sure all the safs are straight and all are in line, and all the, everyone is standing shoulder to shoulder. And he says that one of the reasons behind this was the habit of Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if the ummah wants to be united, a ummah wants to be together, a ummah wants to be have unity, it starts off with our salah in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing shoulder to shoulder, our heels are in line, and this is what will bring about unity and muhabba in the ummah. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice inshaAllah. So this was the habit of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He started his salah. Soon as he started his salah, Abu Lu'lu comes from the back of the masjid, and he starts working his way towards the front, and he stabs Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu 3 times below his navel with a knife which is sharpened on both sides, with a dagger. Some Mufassirin, some historians say that it was 5 times, some say it was 3 times, but the majority of the historians mention that no, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was stabbed 3 times. And then he begins to run away. And as he is running away, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu chasing him, and he stabs 12 Sahaba on his way out. And 6 of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu passed away. And the other 6 were severely wounded. Eventually they got hold of him, they put him down, and he knew what was the end result going to be. So what he does, he takes the same dagger and he commits suicide and he kills himself. Now as Umar radiallahu anhu, he is bleeding and he is there in the musalla, and it's a big congregation, it is a huge congregation, and some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu at the back, that time they had no mic system, they had no sound system, and so they thought that Umar radiallahu anhu made a mistake in his salah, so they started saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, trying to correct the qiraat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then eventually it came to know that no, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was wounded. And in the state, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he points to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu to come and perform the salah. When he performed the salah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was a close friend of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, goes to his room. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the first thing that came out of the mouth of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the salah completed? Ibn Abbas says, yes, the salah was completed. He said, Alhamdulillah, the salah was completed. Secondly, who is that person who murdered me? What I have done, such a wrong for this person to have murdered me. And look at the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dua as we discussed in the beginning of Hazrat Umar, O Allah, make me pass away as a shaheed. There was no war in Madinatul Munawwara. There was no war taking place in Madinatul Munawwara. In order for Hazrat Umar to become a shaheed, he had to travel out of Madinatul Munawwara. And the second part of his dua is when he wanted to be buried in Madinatul Munawwara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that dua. He was shaheed because he was murdered and he was buried in Madinatul Munawwara. About Ibn Abbas said, no one is upset with you, no one is angry with you, everyone is happy with you, being the Khalifa of the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he noticed that, you know, now he is going to pass away a few days before he passes away. And the stage came when he used to drink milk, he used to see that milk coming out of his belly. This is when he knew that, know what, now it is, his time is up, I'm going to pass away. He calls his son Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala and says, oh my son, number one, great lesson for every single one of us. This is why I discussed this topic, because the first thing that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu discussed was with his son Abdullah, when he was on his deathbed, he said, oh my son, I need you to work out exactly how much people I owe money to work out on my debts, because I do not want to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state of debts. So as Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala says, oh my father, it was 83,000 dinars, or 83,000 dirhams that you owe to the people. And he says, go to the family members, ask the family members if they can pay off my debt. If they cannot pay off my debt, go to the Quraysh, my family as well. Ask them if they can pay off my debt. If they cannot pay off my debt, leave it as it is. I will make tawbah. Maybe inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me. Second was, he says, go to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and ask her permission if I can be buried next to Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he goes to Hazrat Aisha, he asks, oh Aisha, this is the request of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, no, that place is for me. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, no, that place is for me, but I will give it to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There was only one place left in the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. It shows how small the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, because Umar radiallahu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried there, and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha is buried there. So there was only place for one more. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, no, that place is for me. But anyway, she fulfilled the request of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anha. She said, okay, no problem, that he can be buried there. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala still wasn't satisfied. He said, okay, listen, after I pass away, take my janaza back to the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and after I pass away, ask her permission again if I can be buried next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if she changes her mind after I pass away, maybe now she is feeling ashamed to say no because I am the Amir al-Mu'mineen. So maybe after I pass away, she will think differently. And if she refuses, by all means take me and bury me in Jannatul Baqi, and to not bury me and force the way to be buried next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But eventually Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha still gave permission for Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anha to be buried next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe a nephew walks in the room. Relate in our lives, the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu an, to increase our knowledge when it comes to the beautiful deen of Islam, so that we can put it into practice, so that we can practice on this beautiful deen given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Amin.